But we are back. Welcome to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post. And Steve is back as well from his European adventure out in Barcelona, representing us at ICE, of course. We'll get on to all of that, Steve, but how are you?
Yes, good morning, Dave. Yeah, a couple of nights in Barcelona. ICE Barcelona, I think it needs an urgent name change, to be honest, for many reasons. I mean, ICE stands for International Casinos Exhibition, but it's much more than that these days. It's, yeah, betting, gaming. It was good to meet lots of punters over there. I love punters more than any other type of human being. And, I got to chat with lots of good punters, got to chat to lots of Sweet Spot fans, Dave. You usually meet them in the snooker hall, don't they? But there was plenty over there. Must give a shout out to Steve Burson. Steve Burson, I met his son in Barcelona, and his son was telling me all about Steve's Jaden Shaper bets. He had a really enjoyable Christmas due to Jaden Shaper. So shout out to Steve Burson. Shout out to the punting community. Long live the punters.
Shout out, Big Steve. I used to love going to ICE when it was in London. Not so much so I don't get to Barcelona. But listen, you're representing the firm. You get invited to all sorts of functions afterwards. Of course, receive a WhatsApp message from you at 2 a.m. in the morning, Steve. So you was obviously hard at work networking, right?
Well, this is it. It is a networking event. I mean, it was 3 a.m. over there. I had 2 3 a.m. finishes, which for a 47-year-old man in poor physical condition, I have been feeling the pace since. I haven't been very well since. I left nothing in the boat, as Stephen Redgrave used to say. But I got back on Wednesday night. I immersed myself in the golfing world over the weekend. I'm back to full speed and very excited to have two fulfilled events this week. I'd say this is the first proper week of the golf punting year for me.
Marvellous. You're rocking the attire there. How did you get on with the Formula One simulator?
Yeah, you know how much we love Formula One. That's Lando Norris's shirt, I believe. It's quite difficult actually, Dave. Yeah, a lot harder. You know, you get all the feedback through the wheel, the steering wheel. It's very realistic and very difficult. But we had one chap who was the best Formula One driver in Slovenia who had a go, and he was very impressive on it. But it's a real skill to Formula One driving. It's not as easy as you think it is. It's not just, you know, driving an Audi is different to driving a Ferrari F1 car. I can assure you that.
I'll take your word for it, of course, but we love the F1 here on The Sweet Spots. Right, let's get to it then. Let's look back before we look forward. You've mentioned that you immersed yourself in it, so I'm sure you're across everything that did occur. Yeah. We'll start Dubai Desert Classic, and at 14 under par, Patrick Reed back in the winner's enclosure. Andy Sullivan in second, and then we had Gray. Who else did we have in there? Højgaard, Francesco Molinari was up there as well. And your old mate, Jaden Shaper. But what of Mr. Reed?
Such an efficient player, Dave. You know, just always gets the best out of his game, doesn't he? I'll love him forever, you know, for winning the 2018 Masters. Every time I get into my car, I always thank Patrick Reed, who essentially bought that car. I'm a big Patrick Reed fan. I know it's not fashionable to be a Patrick Reed fan, but
I
actually really like the bloke. And when he gets a lead, you know, he's like a dog with a bone, isn't he? When he gets in the lead, you know, he doesn't let it go. And, he had that big advantage going into Sunday. And he didn't have his best stuff on Sunday, Dave, I'd say. But his course management is always excellent. He closed with five pars. You know, just no frills golf over those closing holes. Just wasn't going to make any serious errors. Played the 18th hole in textbook fashion with a big lead. And, he likes the Emirates. He was runner-up to Rory McIlroy, you might remember, in the 2023 Dubai Desert Classic. That was an absolute thriller. So it went one better on Sunday. And then on Monday, into the live negotiations. Have you been following that story, Dave? He's not got a contract for 2026 yet on the live tour.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, really, because the live season starts next week with Live Riyadh. As things stand, when Reed left Dubai on Sunday night, he did not have a live contract for 2026. So the negotiations are ongoing. And he's basically said if he's not going to play on the live circuit this year, then he'll play the DP World Tour, a full campaign on the DP World Tour, and then hopefully get one of the top 10 places on the Race to Dubai rankings and get a PGA Tour card. So, yeah, fierce negotiations going on with Patrick Reed and his and the live guys.
I reckon it'd go well on the DP World Tour as well. You know, he's back. I think, 80 to 1 last week? I don't think you're going to see prices about Patrick Reed at 80-1 anytime soon.
I think about 50-1 was the best you could get. I mean, he was underrated in the market last week for a major champion. But I mean, yeah, I don't think he wants to play the campaign on the DP World Tour. I think it's all like negotiation. He's a very, very clever negotiator. And obviously winning last week helps him with those negotiations. I expect him to be playing Live Riyadh next week. But if he's not, then exciting times for the DP World Tour.
Okay, right. McIlroy and Fleetwood were the big guns in the market. I read out sort of the top six or seven. Nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, Rory McIlroy tied 33rd, open with a 73, closed with a 73. And I wonder whether he's already regretting his switch to cavity back irons. I almost struggle to say it, but did you know he switched to cavity back irons at the start of the season? I was absolutely gobsmacked when I saw that. I never thought I'd see the day. I think Tiger Woods has probably deleted him from his contacts on his phone. You know, Tiger Woods would be disgusted, Dave. Tiger Woods would not be seen dead using cavity back irons. Certainly not cavity back short irons. I remember there was a brief period where Tiger Woods had a cavity back driving iron, like a two iron, but that's fair enough. Rory McIlroy has gone to a full set of cavity back irons. You know, the forgiveness, you play golf, don't you? You probably have cavity back, Dave. Yeah, the forgiveness is there for mishit shots. You know, it's a wider margin for error. But the blades that the proper players use, you know, they got that purity, you've got that feel, you can work the ball better with them. You know, blades are for elite golfers, Dave. Cavity backs are for the hackers. I used to work at a golf club at Came Down Golf Course. I was the assistant pro at Came Down Golf Course. And I saw the hierarchy there. Yeah, the guys who had the blades just walked around with a swagger. They're like revered. And not many of them, because not many people can handle the blades. So I just think it's an astonishing decision. I cannot believe Rory McIlroy's ego allowed him to make that switch. And it's completely rocked me, to be honest with you, Dave. I haven't had much sleep since.
Why has he done it? Is it the cheddar? Why has he done it?
No. It's a great question. I mean, he says he's noticed that he's been having some irons coming up short, some long irons coming up short. So he wants more forgiveness for his miss-hit shots. But Rory McIlroy shouldn't be talking about miss-hit shots. He's just come off the greatest campaign of his career. He's just become Grand Slam champion. You didn't hit many miss-hit shots last year. I honestly think like the world order has been rocked by this. I feel like it shows that Earth is in terminal decline now, Dave. That if Rory McIlroy is going to be using cavity back irons for the foreseeable, honestly, it's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. And his iron play was rubbish last week. And I just pray that he comes to his senses and goes back to being an elite golfer again. You know, Rory McIlroy should not be using cavity back irons. He was a short price favorite last week and played abysmally. I must admit, this has rocked me more than most things do.
I can tell. I can tell.
And I hope he comes to his senses, and I hope Tommy Fleetwood comes to his senses about his clothing, Dave. Have you been following that? I cannot believe what I'm seeing. You know, Tommy Fleetwood finished 41st last week after letting us down in Dubai. And the only reason for this sudden switch in form that I can see is that these new clothes, his night contract came to an end. So he's free to wear whatever he wants. And he's wearing the most ridiculous. It's like he's walking around in a tent. He's got the baggiest clothes. And it must affect your golf swing. Previously, he looked so well dressed, like, you know, tightly cut clothes, swinging the best he ever has. Yeah, he'd gone to a new level. Then he comes out this season looking like a blimmin' tramp, without being too unkind. I just do not like this style. Like, how can you swing with it? Like, you're swinging in a tent. And honestly, you might think it's not important, but clothing to me, when I'm playing, very important. I think it's a key factor in why Fleetwood's made such a poor start of the year. So I think McIlroy's made an unbelievable switch with his irons. Fleetwood's made an unbelievable switch with his clothes. Hopefully, come the summer, because they're in our majors, Acker. We need them to win the last two legs of the majors, Acker. Come to your senses, guys. Rory, what are you doing? You're one of the greatest players in the world. You're the world number two. You're the greatest European in history. Do not be playing with cavity back irons. It's how's his confidence suddenly dipped to that extent? And Fleetwood, just come on, mate, blimey, give yourself a chance to swing properly. You can't swing in a tent.
Well, he's not in action this week, but we'll be on fashion watch with Fleetwood then, in that case. Yeah. And maybe keep the powder dry until we see his attire on the first tee, perhaps. Let us know your thoughts in the comments. Are they two players to steer away? Neither in action this week, but we'll keep an eye on both of those. Any other takeaways from the Dubai Desert Classic, Steve?
I don't want to bring a sea of negativity to this podcast, so I'll go with a positive. And it was nice to see Francesco Molinari play so well, yes. Wasn't it? Francesco Molinari, yeah, he moved to California for a few years, but he's moved back to Italy now, and he's back working with Dennis Pugh, his old coach. Dennis is in his 70s now, but yeah, there's a real chemistry between those two. Dennis Pugh helped Molinari become the major champion that he is. And he's only 43, Molinari. So he's at a crossroads in his career now. Is he going to?
Yeah. I thought he was older than that.
No, he's only 43. So he's still got plenty to offer as a player. Is he going to get that European Ryder Cup captaincy role, which will obviously take his eye off the ball? I don't know. So yeah. Pleased to see Francesco Molinari back in business. Felt for David Puge back as last week, who had a two-shot penalty after the round finish. He grounded his club in the yeah. sand at the 72nd hole. David Puge, I'm a fan of David Puge, but he was playing alongside Patrick Reed. I thought it was quite amusing that he's playing alongside Patrick Reed, the king of improving your lie in the sand. Yeah. So maybe he was inspired by Patrick Reed to tickle under the ball there in the sand. So, David Puge, I love David Puge. I love Jaden Schaper, but we can discuss Jaden Schaper because he's playing this week, his favourite this week.
Okay, good. Oh, just on Steve's Patrick Reed comments, allegedly, then, in case he comes for us, allegedly.
Well, he did get a two-shot penalty.
I know. Right, from one short price favourite that faltered to another who certainly did not falter, and we will move to the American Express, which was won by the irrepressible Scotty Scheffler, the chef cooking up a treat here, four-shot winner. Jason Dave's good to see him. Back swinging it good and putting well. Ryan Gerrard, McCarty, Putnam, Siwoo Kim, all up there. How much did you catch of this, Steve? And what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I caught loads. I love watching Scotty Scheffler in full flow. I know some people find it boring because he doesn't make any mistakes, but there's nothing boring about elite sport in my eyes. And I think all that talk about Rory McIlroy and Tommy Fleetwood, already discussed them. Yeah, their failure to win the Dubai Invitational, because obviously they dominated the Dubai Invitational market. And then, it was easy to suggest afterwards that, the top players are vulnerable first time out. They're rusty, blah, blah, blah. I do not believe that for one second. I think it's a nonsense because everyone is rusty in the first start of the year. And if you've got a rusty elite player, they've got a much better chance of winning than a rusty crap player. And, I think elite players have got more chance of hitting the ground running than the poor players because they're rich enough to go wherever they want in the world and get that warm weather training. A lot of them like going to Dubai at the start of the year for warm weather training. If you're like a DP World Tour struggler, you might not have the finances to justify that sort of, a fortnight in Dubai to start the year. Particularly the players from our country, Dave. If you've got a DP World Tour struggler in England, he can't practice because the weather's so consistently awful. And he's looking at his finances. Can I go and have a couple of weeks in Dubai to get ready for the Dubai Invitational? No, you probably can't. Whereas your big, the fellas with unlimited funds, your McIlroys, your Fleetwoods, they can actually prepare better for the season. So I think it's a nonsense that the top players are more vulnerable first time out. And Scotty Scheffler just showed how well he'd prepared for the new season last week, didn't he? I suspect he went into Christmas a bit angry because he had a disappointing Ryder Cup, didn't he? I mean, Ryder Cup did not go to plan for Scotty Scheffler. Then he made some uncharacteristic errors in the Hero World Challenge. So I think for the first time in a long while, he went into the Christmas break feeling pretty cheesed off. Meredith probably had to keep him away from the wine bottles that he likes ramming into the pasta. Yeah. So I suspect that once he got Christmas out of the way, he really knuckled down. And you could see a real fierce determination when he came into the Amex that he hasn't previously showed in that tournament. And
amazing is that his second shot golf was just incredible. Like he held a million putts, but most of them were like within 4 feet because it was just so accurate. It was just his ball control was just crazy. PlayStation golf.
You make a very good point. I mean, he hardly hit a long birdie putt, did he, on Sunday? Like every birdie he made was like a tapping range. I think a 10-footer was the longest birdie putt he had. So you're absolutely right. The precision was there on approach. And he sort of emphatically buried this thing about California because there weren't many places where Scheffler wasn't a prolific winner. But he hadn't won in California until the Pro Core Championship last September.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one? They all had to go to that one for the Ryder Cup warm-up for the Team America. So he wins the Pro Core Championship. Now he's won twice in California. He's now won 20 PGA Tour titles. There's only two players in history that...
Listen, I've got some stats for you, right?
Go on, then. You've got the stats.
I've got stats, right? And then we'll discuss just where he ranks, okay? Yeah. You were just about to say it, but he's only the third player in history to win 20 times on the PGA Tour, including four majors before the age of 30. We obviously know the other two as the two GOATs, Woods and Nicklaus. His ninth win by four shots or more. Obviously, he went 0 from 70 when he joined the PGA Tour. He's now won 20 from his last 81. And since switching to a mallet putter, he has won 16 of 38. What are we looking at here, Steve? We're looking at, people always resist the comparisons to Tiger Woods, but these numbers are suggesting that he's right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you make a very good point about how long he had to wait for that first win. We were on him for that first win in the Phoenix Open. So all of those 20 wins are really squashed in together. So he's had 20 wins in less than 4 years, which is an incredible win rate. And clearly on his way to being an all-time great. Maybe only Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods would be ahead of him in the all-time great lists when Scheffler hangs up his clubs. Because, he had that little... those comments around the Open last year are a bit concerning, but I think we probably made more of it than we needed to. Scheffler's longevity is there. He's never had any serious injury problems. He's such a measured character. I think he's going to play forever more. I mean, it was a funny quote in the media conference after he won last week, where they're trying to get him to get sort of excited. And he just said, winning golf tournaments is more fun than losing them. It's about as far as you go, but he gets a small bit of pleasure out of winning. So I think he's just going to win and win and win. And it's a great start for our 2026 majors, Akka, Dave. We mentioned our concerns about Fleetwood and McIlroy. They've got time to get going, but we expected Scheffler to make a faster start to this year. No injury problems like he had at the start of last year. He's now cemented his status as Masters favourite.
Right, one more question then on Scheffler. Six wins in 2024, six wins in 2025, neither of which were his first outing, which he's done this year. How many wins for him this year?
Yeah, it's a really good question. He seems focused and there's no weaknesses. He's putted well last week. I think we're going to get up to sort of eight, aren't we? I mean, the big one for him is the US Open. Can he complete the career Grand Slam? I think that's he turns 30 that week. Is that right? He turns 30 during the US Open week. It's all written in the stars. I think it might be the Sunday US Open is his birthday. Actually, I can't quite remember. He's obviously in for a massive season. Is Scheffler still improving? I mean,
that's right.
He possibly is. I mean, the fella just behind. We just briefly mentioned him because he hasn't made the cut in my tips, and he was so close. Jason Day. I mean, you mentioned nice to see Jason Day back. He has to come under massive consideration for the Farmers Insurance Open. We're coming to the previews now. Day has twice won the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. Last week, rounds of 63, 71, 67, 64. I can understand why he's been popular in the market already this week. Magnificent Torrey Pines record over a long period of time. But his last three Torrey Pines starts, Dave, miscut 32, 50. He doesn't hit it very far these days. Is that relative lack of driving distance? Is that the reason why his form at Torrey Pines has slightly tailed off? It's enough for me to be put off by the shorts.
Okay, before we get into previewing this week's golf, I just wanted to ask you about one last player. And you'll remember the name because it's a brilliant name. 18-year-old Blades Brown.
Yeah.
Star of the future, star of now. What are we saying?
He was very assured, wasn't he? Very assured. One to keep an eye out. He's got hardly any experience and sponsors invite. Great name. Hopefully he uses stick with Blades. He'll stick with Blades.
He's Rory McIlroy. His name to Cavity Brown. Yeah.
Rory McIlroy needs to hang out with Blades Brown. I mean, don't get me started on Rory McIlroy again. But Blades Brown, it's got a bit of promise, but it's too early to start backing him, I'd say. Sam Stevens is the other one I just want to quickly mention because he finished tied sixth last week. Sam Stevens, another one you have to really consider for the Farmers Insurance Open. He's a former runner-up in the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. Stephen's clearly playing well again. I just wonder whether he's got the bottle, actually. I just see him interviewed and he seems a little bit of a softy.
Elaborate on that. What have you seen?
It's hard to elaborate because these are just hunches. I mean, it's very important to have hunches. My hunches have served me well through the years. All the research I've done on him makes me feel like he's a bit of a softy. And you know how much I research these golfers. I won't go into it because it's a bit unkind, but I've just got him down as a bit of a softy, but we shall see. But I think he certainly can place this week. There's a lot of reasons that you should be backing Sam Stevens. We'll discuss that in the Farmers Insurance Open. Let's get some tips in. That's what people are here
for. Okay, right. Yeah, indeed. There was one or two comments to us last couple of weeks about too much bants and too much chat. So let's get to it, shall we?
You can't please everyone. Some people love the bants, don't they? Brendan Duke, he used to love the bants. He just wanted 60 minutes of bants. Yeah, one of our friends of the show. You can't please everyone all the time.
Too true. Right, Bahrain Championship then. That will be first for us. Couple of recent wins for Dylan Fratelli, 13 under par 2024. Laurie Cantor, 14 under par in a playoff. Last year, what sort of track are we looking at? And of course, we're in Bahrain, but let's talk conditions and what sort of player is going to be suited.
Sure. Royal Golf Club, 7,347 yards, par 72, four par fives. We had three previous DP World Tour events at this track. The 2011 Volvo Golf Champions won by Paul Casey, the 2024 and 2025 Bahrain Championship. Colin Montgomery designed this track. It's made entirely from paspalum grass. Lots of sandy waste areas line the fairways, Dave. That's a key point. So there's margin for error off the tee. You're not going to end up in loads of tree trouble. You're going to end up in, you know, potentially very flat lines in some sand. Not much pressure to be accurate off the tee. Those four par fives can be overwhelmed by the big hitters. But you on approach, you must be accurate on approach. There's lots of sections of these greens. They're big greens, slopey. Lots of free putts this week, Dave, if you get out of position on the greens. A field of 144 going to post. Sunny and pleasant weather forecast. Light to moderate breezes. The action starts at 4 a.m. UK time on Thursday morning.
Right, you covered a lot of bases there, but have you got a specific attribute that we're looking for?
I think long driving to overwhelm those scoring holes, the four par fives. Don't worry about accuracy off the tee, but accuracy on the approach is useful. Well, very, very useful.
Okay. Have you got the market in front of you, Steve?
No, Dave. I've just got your pretty face in front of me.
I would have
pieces of jellied eel coming out the corner of your mouth.
I would have, it's half 10 in the morning. I would have
never
really
too early
enjoyed,
for a jellied eel.
Sorry. I would have enjoyed you reading out the market leaders here, but I will, of course.
Oh, no, you go for it,
Dave. Okay, we have got head in the market, Angel Ayora, Jaden Schaper. Then we've got Daniel Hillier and Patrick Reed are the top four in the market, of course. Two of your favourites leading the way here.
Yeah, absolutely.
You suggested at the top of the show that you're not going for market leaders. So I'm assuming none of those four are in the team. How many selections?
Yes, certainly no market leaders in the Farmers Insurance Open. We've got three selections in the Bahrain Championship.
Okay, right. Who is the main pick then?
Daniel Hillier, who is one of the most informed players on the planet, consistently setting up winning opportunities. This week coming to an ideal layout, I feel. I've been following this lad since he started winning New Zealand amateurs many moons ago. He's always looked a star in the making, strapping 6 footer, Dave, long levers, effortless power. One on the Challenge Tour in 2021, one on the Challenge Tour in 2022. Maiden DP World Tour title came in 2023. British Masters, it's a big one for your first win, isn't it? High pressure event. And win number two is just surely coming soon. I'd say he's one of the top five drivers on the DP World Tour, this lad. Spectacular with the big dog in his hand. Royal Golf Club, as I say, plenty of room off the tee. He can have freedom to attack with the big dog. And he's got those four par fives. And the way he's been swinging lately, you've been watching much DP World Tour golf lately, Dave? I mean, he's swinging like an absolute god. His last six tournaments, all DP World Tour events, form figures of 5-16, 5-6, 2-26. Four of those six events have been in the Middle East. So he's been excelling on desert layouts. He was runner-up in the Dubai Invitational at the start of the year. lost by a shot to Nacho Elvira. Last week, he carded four rounds of par or better at the Emirates. This is a 27-year-old looking better than ever. Just missed out on a PGA Tour card in the Race to Dubai Rankings last season. Don't know if you're following that. He was unlucky not to get one. And he finished 24th on his Bahrain debut 12 months ago. So, and worth noting, Dave, worth noting. It always puts me off when you smirk at me. I know you're going to something. You got something funny to say.
No, I haven't.
He closed with a 65 in the final round last year. So, course debut, getting to know it, closed with a 65. Only one player outscored him in that final round last year, David Poo. So, it's safe to say Hillier got a handle on the layout last year. No Pooge to worry about this week. Pooge taking a week off. Hillier, the most likely title contender for me.
He's going to let the big dog eat. He does it a long way. Yeah,
he does. He's a great driver. You remember when we were on Tyrrell Hatton, he almost upset us when we were on Tyrrell Hatton for last year's Dubai Desert Classic, and Hillier was the main threat. There's another example of Hillier enjoying himself on a long desert track. He's going to have more fun this week, and I think he'll get a PGA Tour card this year for the Race to Dubai Rankings.
That's what I was going to ask you. Would he get it this year?
I think so. He's already sixth, and yeah, just still improving. And I'd say he's one of the ten. Yeah.
How many wins has he got to his name?
Just one DP World Tour win, that British Masters. So, but he's still young. Hasn't been around for that long. And he's definitely the most likely title contender this week for me.
I like it. Okay, 18-1 out there. Who is the next best?
Martin Kuvre. Yes, Martin. Another player who nearly got a PGA Tour card last year for the Race to Dubai Rankings. He finished a spot below Hillier. And that mission to get a PGA Tour card seemed to really unsettle Kuvre in the second half of last year, because he played amazing up to the end of June. He won for us, of course, in Turkey. He looked a certainty to get a PGA Tour card, then badly lost his way in the second half of the season. He finished last in the DP World Tour Championship. He just completely gassed out. You know, he needed the season to end. He needed to hit the reset button. And we've had that now. And then on his return in the Nedbank Challenge, he was slow out the blocks, but he had a really strong weekend there, moved up to 30th place in the Nedbank. Then in the Alfred Dunhill Championship, he closed with a 63 to finish seventh. So really encouraging signs. Then he went off for his Christmas holidays. Nice month off over Christmas to reflect on what was a fantastic year. You know, he would have been disappointed he didn't get a PGA Tour card, but his overall body of work in 2025 was fantastic. He was the rookie of the year, for Pete's sake. Yeah. The DP World Tour Rookie of the Year, maiden DP World Tour title in May, as I said, runner-up in the Italian Open in June. He nearly won for us for a second time in June. And the signs for 2026, positive. Open with 42nd place in the Dubai Invitational. I didn't expect much from there. Course debut, unsuitable layout. But last week at the Emirates, Dubai Desert Classic, he finished 10th. And looking like the old Martin Kuvre last week, Dave. That was his Emirates debut. So great effort to finish 10th this week, playing a course he knows he can hit the ground running. He finished 4th on his Bahrain Championship debut 12 months ago. He was 5th in Qatar the following week, you will remember. So he's shown an early liking for desert golf. It's time to support our favourite Frenchman again. Is he your favourite Frenchman, Dave? I think he's definitely mine.
Yeah, he's up there. He's definitely up there. I don't like too many, but he's up there. That's for sure.
Eric Cantona. I'm just cleaning my thing. What about Eric Cantona? I told a bloke at ICE last week he looked like Eric Cantona. You can't get many
not one, but two collars up. So you're obviously a fan of Eric Cantona.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Eric Cantona. But yeah, I say Martin Kuvre is my favourite Frenchman. I can't think of anyone others that I prefer. Put it in the comments section. Who's your favourite Frenchman?
How long is he?
Martin Kuvre, yeah. A little bit wild, like sort of mid-range, but can be a little bit wild, which is why I don't mind backing him this week. He has got some loose shots in him, but his putting stroke is what turns me on, Dave, if you'll allow me that turn of phrase. If you're the sort of guy that gets turned on by putting strokes, then Kuvre's, I like the way Kuvre goes about his business on the greens. wrap me up. What am I talking?
He's long and he turns these on. Long. There you go. He's Martin Kuvre. That is for sure. Just a very interesting point you made there about desert golf. Some players just thrive, and I always just think Tyrrell Hatton is just a player that loves playing in the desert. You know, look at some of the prize money he's racked up in that part of the world. Some players do just thrive when playing out in that part of the world.
Well, a lot of these courses are very forgiving off the tee, isn't there? I missed the Ras Al Khaimah Championship. That's been taken off the schedule. That used to be a bombs away type venue. Yeah, we've had Nicolai Hogar around there. You can just get away with wild shots because you're just going to end up in a flat lie in the sand most of the time. Most of those courses in the Gulf are made for powerhouses. The Dubai Invitational one is the sort of quirky one that's not. But this week definitely Kuvra can get away with some loose drives.
Right, okay. Third and final pick then. Quite a long way down to your man there, Martin Kuvra, which is beautiful. Nice big price. Each way aplenty. Who's the third pick?
Wenyi Ding. Lots of sweet spot regulars on the show here. Wenyi Ding, our DP World Tour player to follow this year. Potentially the greatest player in the history of Chinese golf. The 2022 US Junior Amateur Champion. The 2023 Asia Pacific Amateur Champion. Former world number three amateur. Turned pro in October 2024. And he's looked like a winning waiting to happen on the DP World Tour ever since. You remember we were on at juicy prices in the Australian Open in 2024. He finished fifth in that. He was eighth in the China Open in April last year. Then from the middle of October last year to the Christmas break, it was ding dong. Wenyi has arrived. Third place in the Macau Open, sixth in the Hong Kong Open, second in the Australian PGA Championship, picked by David Pooge that week. You haven't got to worry about David Pooge this week. Then 18th in the Australian Open. So at the end of last year, Wenyi Ding, he looked like the player that we were expecting to emerge. The win is clearly coming. He's got all the tools to succeed. Well-rounded game. And 19th place in the Dubai Desert Classic last week. It was a good start to 2026. He finished 55th in his Bahrain debut last year. Knows the course. I expect better this week. Still only 21 years of age, Dave.
Yeah, he is, of course, your player to follow this year as well. So hopefully we can notch a win and a big year expected. Listen, there's a player you've mentioned twice there. As I started looking at this golf tournament, I actually looked at the event rather than before looking at the field. Hmm. David Puig. I was like, why is he not playing this week? He would have been a massive runner.
Yeah, so I had a break before the start of the LIV season. So he'll be on the LIV circuit next week in Riyadh under the floodlights. But Patrick Reed's playing another one. Patrick Reed's a golfaholic, isn't he? He just loves playing golf, improving that world ranking. Up to 29th now, I think. But Pooja having a little breather. Jaden Schaper keeping himself very busy, though, Dave. Jaden Schaper,
Let's get on to the market principles then. He is one of them.
Yeah, top of the race to the buy rankings, and he's probably got his eye on that prize already. You know, he's in great form, is he? Full of confidence, chalked up as favourite this week on opening shows, but he hasn't shown a liking in this course in the last 2 years, Dave. He's missed the cut in both his appearances in the Bahrain Championship. He missed the cut by 9 shots in 2024, missed the cut by 4 shots last year. He's absolutely buzzing. He can win anywhere at the moment. But, yeah, that's very off-putting that he doesn't like this guy. He's very precise off the tee. So some of his strengths are negated a little bit here. Jaden Schaper, this is not the week to back him. There'll be better tournaments to back him.
Okay, what about your other mate who's top of the market?
Oh, Angel Ayora. Yeah, Angel Ayora. You know I love Angel Ayora. Yeah, every chance this is his maiden DP World Tour title. I think it's inevitable that he starts winning tournaments soon, but he missed the cut last year by 7 shots. That was his Bahrain championship debut. Yeah, it's a very queer mark, isn't it? Because you've got the two players dominating the top of the betting there. Both missed the cut last year by a long way.
Why is he so well respected in the market? Now, we know he's a great player, but geez.
He's improving. Every time you watch him swing a golf club, every time an odds compiler watches him swing a golf club, they probably knock a point off him for whatever they've got in front of him because he's such a good-looking player. That first win always takes time, doesn't it? So, Schaper's obviously won twice. Daniel Hillier's won once. Angel Ayora is a maiden. So, I think you're right. I think he is a bit short in the betting this week. Patrick Reed, I can live without him at short prices as well. He mentioned last week how he plays golf Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. At the moment, either DP World Tour or Asian Tour. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is live negotiations. These negotiations are very intense. Since he won in Dubai, he would have been sitting down with the live guys and his people. And he finished 60th.
What about, in winning again? you know, that it might, maybe it's a motivation for, look, I've just gone back to back on the DP World Tour. You've got to have me.
Yeah, they haven't got much time to sort out the replacement. You know, if he wins on Sunday and he still ain't got a live contract, he's got to tee off on Thursday. And remember, it's four rounds now on the live. So they're leaving it very late. I mean, this is brinkmanship of the highest order.
Yeah.
I love that word.
Master of brinkmanship. Mark Selby.
Oh, that Mark Selby. Yeah. So Patrick Reed is the master of brinkmanship, but he finished 60th in the Bahrain Championship last year, which is a very key point. I don't think this course particularly suits him. Yeah, I can definitely live without Patrick Reed.
Okay. Any other players to add?
No, we need to get onto the Farmers, because we've also got a darts tournament this week that we probably want to discuss.
Okay. It just randomly popped into my head, who's my favourite Frenchman, and it is Dimitri Payet.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. He's one of the few West Ham players that's still effective.
I don't even know if he's still playing anymore. He's out in France now. Right, let's get to Torrey Pines then, the iconic Torrey Pines. We always just think of Tiger Woods, of course, Torrey Pines. It is the Farmers Insurance 74th year of this event, formerly known as the San Diego Open. Previous winners last year, Harris English. Then we've got Pavon, Homer, Luke List, Patrick Reed, Mark Leishman. Have we got two different courses going here, Steve, as ever?
That's right. Three rounds on Torrey Pines South, one round on Torrey Pines North. The South, much harder, 7,765 yards, par 72. The North, 7,258 yards, par 72. Torrey Pines has hosted since 1968. You remember the US Open was at the South Course in 2008 and 2021. Tiger Woods and John Rahm won those ones. The South Course was also an emergency host for the Genesis Invitational last year, you might remember.
Won by
Ludwig Aubert.
This week's winner.
Wildfires had destroyed Riviera Country Club. So Torrey Pines stepped in. Ludwig Aubert was a hero for us that week. The South is usually the longest course played on the PGA Tour all season. It's a really difficult test because the greens are very small as well. So pars are an excellent achievement at the South Course. Strong ball striking, the key to success. We've got a field of 145 going to post this week, Davis, reduced from 156. I don't know if you've noticed the PGA Tour trying to make sure that rounds finish in time. You know, last year, in previous years, darkness has brought halt to a lot of rounds. So
just make them play quicker.
This is it, Dave. They seem to have given up on the idea of speeding up play. So they think the solution is smaller fields instead. So, don't get me started on that. But we've got sunny and calm weather throughout. So scoring should be better than last year. It was pretty windy at times last year and only 8 under par 1. But I think we get to double figures this time. And then the tournament starts probably around when the Clark family are settling down for their pie and mash, their bubble and squeak, you know, dipping their jelly deals in their bubble and squeak. Probably about 5 p.m. on Thursday.
Okay, yes, about 4 or 5 o'clock. Yes, that is for sure. Right, the market here. Xander Schauffele heads the market. Ludwig Aubert, Cameron Young, Siwoo Kim, Patrick Cantlay, Jason Day, JJ Spawn. Please be with Ludwig here. That's what I'm hoping. He's the man carrying my money. How many selections?
Four.
Okay, right. Who is the main pick then for the Farmers Insurance Open?
That might have been an error. I haven't been in good condition. Not been in good conditions at Athlone and the throat. It's been a bit fragile. So that might have been a huge error of judgment.
Okay.
But we have four selection. You know, so the number one selection. Is that what you want, Dave? Is that what you want?
Yes, please.
Do you want it, sir? Taylor Pendriff. Taylor Pendriff, one of the most powerful players on the circuit. Torrey Pines South, as mentioned, the longest course the PGA Tour stars face all week. It's not intimidating for Pendriff. He averaged more than 311 yards off the tee last season. His ball striking was magnificent last year. The reason he didn't win anything is because his putting was not up to the same standard that it was in 2024. He was actually 10th. He was the 10th best putter on the PGA Tour in 2024. If he can rediscover that putting touch of 2024 this year, then I think trophies are inevitable. He won twice on the Canadian Tour in 2019. He made his PGA Tour breakthrough in the 2024 Byron Nelson. He's had 8 top fives on the PGA Tour. And he was 5th in the USPGA last year, Dave. You know, fantastic effort in a major. I think he's gone up a level lately, Pendriff. He's a 2-time President's Cup President's Cupper now. So Penrith at the peak of his powers for me. 34 years of age. And the best value in this field, you know, I spent ages on this tournament last night going through the various options. And value-wise, I think Penrith stands out because his Farmers Insurance open form figures are 16.69.7. It was well down the world rankings for those first two ones, but 9.7, the last two. He was 50th in that Genesis at Torrey Pines, but the course really suits him. I think he's more ready than most of the players in this field. We're still talking about rust at this time of the year, aren't we? There's still some rusty golfers. You know, Xander Schauffele will come to later, his first start of the year. You know, Penrith had an enormous close season. You know, there weren't many players that had longer time off than Penrith. You know, a full battery recharge. His last competitive round was in August 17, and then he didn't start again until January 15. So, you know, fresh as a daisy when he came out. But he's already played two tournaments, Dave. He was sixth in the Sony Open. Closed with a 64 in the Sony, then missed the cut by a shot in the Amex last week. But don't forget, the Amex is a three-round cut. So Penrith has got seven competitive rounds under his belt. Now he comes to the most suitable course he's faced all year. I think a second PGA Tour title is coming for the lanky Canadian.
Yeah, this is the biggest 40s out there as well. So each way, if you like, there for sure, plenty of places on offer if you shop around. Right, here's the main pick. Who else have you got?
Patrick Rogers. Oh, Patrick Rogers. I feel like I've spent a lifetime waiting for Patrick Rogers to win a PGA Tour event. You know, experienced golf punters. We've got lots of sweet spot fans who have been around for decades. They'll remember when we started backing Patrick Rogers to win PGA Tour events. Yeah, the fanfare that follow Patrick Rogers onto the PGA Tour was enormous. You know, this lad was the next big thing, Dave. You know, his college record was amazing. He went to Stanford Uni, the same as Tiger Woods, and he matched Tiger's record for wins at Stanford University. And then he actually bettered Tiger Woods' scoring average, I remember. So you can imagine the excitement when a player comes out of Stanford University with a better scoring average than Tiger Woods. So this was a former world number one amateur, of course, and I had extremely high hopes for Patrick Rogers. I literally can't believe it. He still hasn't won on the PGA Tour. I literally can't believe it, Dave. But he won on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2015. He was runner-up to Rory McIlroy in the 2015 Wells Fargo Championship. So in 2015, it seemed like it only a matter of time before Roger starts establishing himself as one of the best players in the world. He's twice lost a playoff, Dave, on the PGA Tour. The 2018 RSM Classic. Charles Howe pipped him there. The 2023 Barracuda Championship in California. Akshay Bhatia did him there. College star in California. Much of his best PGA Tour golf has come in the Golden State, including at Torrey Pines. He was third last year in the Genesis Invitational. We're all focused on Ludwig Aubert, but Patrick Rogers finished third. He was fourth in the 2017 Farmers Insurance Open. He was ninth in the 2020 Farmers, ninth in the 2024 Farmers. Loads of good form in California. He was 31st in the US Open in 2021 at Torrey Pines. So we know he can handle the venue. He'll arrive with self-belief. He ended last year brightly, sixth in the Worldwide Technology Championship, seventh in the RSM Classic, and he started 2026 with some sparkle. Third place in the Sony Open, Dave. 44th last week, but carrying a cold putter, ice cold putter. His iron play was great. He found 17 greens in regulation on Sunday, Dave. 17 greens in regulation at quite a tricky course, that stadium course. I thought that was really encouraging. His iron play's on point. Just needs to warm up the putter. And he's had eight competitive rounds under his belt already this year at the age of 33, still only 33. Has the time come for Patrick Rogers? I will cry like a baby, Dave, if he wins on Sunday night.
Okay, again, he's another one who's a big, big price. 60 out there. 60 is out there. Right, that's two. We've got two more to come.
Two more to come at big prices, Dave. And the third one.
What you got for us?
You're right. I hate it when I get an itchy nose. I must have taken something. I must have eaten something I'm allergic to this morning. I haven't eaten much, but I was allergic to something. I always get an itchy nose when I get an allergy. The third selection.
Gosh.
Ricky Castillo. I think I've also got too many layers on. You mentioned that earlier, didn't I? I don't know why I got a Michael Van Gerwen shirt on, a thermal. I got a Michael Van Gerwen, a thermal, and a Lando Norris.
Cross-sport, cross-dressing, yeah.
Yeah. So I really am sweating up, but I'll press on. Ricky Castillo, another former world number one amateur in mistaking plan. He was only world number one amateur for about a month in 2020. Brilliant ball striker, well suited to a stiff TD Green test like Torrey Pines. This lad won his very first Korn Ferry Tour event in 2023. Joined the Korn Ferry Tour, boom, win straight away. Became a PGA Tour rookie last year. Finished 15th on his Farmers Insurance Open debut. He was 12th in the Valspar, 5th in the Byron Nelson. But then a bit of a fallow period and needed an enormous performance in the RSM Classic to salvage full playing rights for 2026. And he nearly pulled it off. I mean, it was a spectacular effort. He finished 3rd in the RSM Classic. It would have been enough had Max McCreevy not just picked him at for second place. Castillo needed second or better. So he hated Max McGreevy for making a late birdie then and getting past him. But that third place under maximum pressure, I was really impressed by Castillo in that. He shot a fine around 62 just to show how good he is. You know, I've been patiently waiting for the real Ricky to turn up, and it turned up on the Sunday of the RSM. And then he still has access to a few events. You know, his status gets him in a few PGA Tour events, and he's already played twice this year, 31st in the Sony Open, 44th in the Amex. He was born in California, about an hour or so up the road from Torrey Pines. So comfortable in the conditions, quality player, good each way bet.
I like that one a lot. It doesn't matter whether you've been a former world amateur number one for a day, a week, or a year.
That's it.
The status is there. The box is ticked.
That's it.
Okay. One more. We've got one more, right?
We got one more, an even bigger prize. And it is Carl Phillips. Enormous prize, still plenty of juice in the odds. Some shrewdies have been on. There's so many shrewdies out there these days. It does my head in. The early shrewdies get involved, but he's still well worth backing at enormous odds. You know how much I like Carl Phillips. Won on the Korn Ferry Tour as a rookie in 2024. Won his maiden PGA Tour title last year in the Puerto Rico Open. Has started 2026 nicely. Finished 18th in the Amex last week. And he can approach his Farmers Insurance Open debut with loads more confidence than your average debutant, because he had loads of success at Torrey Pines as a junior, Dave. You know, this lad, an absolute prodigy, won two kids' world championships when he was really young. The first one when he was 7, I think. So he won two kids' world championships. But the key info is he won two junior world championships, and the junior world championships are staged at Torrey Pines, Day. So right. As a 10-year-old, he won at Torrey Pines in the junior world championship. So that was in 2012 when he was 10, and then in 2014 when he was 12, he won it again. So he also won the 2012 San Diego Junior Masters at a different San Diego track. So he excelled in California as a junior. There is a tailor-made club-fitting facility at Torrey Pines, which Phillips has been regularly visiting since the age of 12. So he loves his tailor-made clubs. He regularly goes to Torrey Pines. Since the age of 12, he's been to Torrey Pines every year to get his club sorted out. So obviously he plays Torrey Pines a lot when he's there. So his Torrey Pines knowledge is amazing for a Farmers Insurance Open debutant. You know, he's going to tee up knowing the course like the back of his hand. Went to Stanford University, like Tiger Woods, like Patrick Rogers. So this is a Stanford Uni graduate. Tiger Woods rates him so highly, he made him his brand ambassador for the Sunday Red clothing range.
Yes, he did.
So, you know, Carl Phillips, if he's going up at this iconic venue where Tiger Woods won a billion times and won a US Open, the greatest major in history, in my opinion, the 2008 US Open, you know, Carl Phillips will be wearing Sunday Red if he's in with a chance on Sunday. I mean, it'd be so good, wouldn't it?
I've just spent a while scrolling down to try and find him on the list. He is miles down. 275-1 is out there.
Yeah, because he had a difficult time after the win last year. But, yeah, he's won as a Korn Ferry Tour rookie. He's won as a PGA Tour rookie. He was entitled to have a little bit of time.
He's won as a 12-year-old. At Torrey Pines as well.
He's won a world championship as a 7-year-old. I mean, basically from the day he was born, he was winning world championships. I mean, yeah, a proper prodigy. I just can't resist him given his course history at those odds. And yeah, I just love the player. I've always loved the player.
Listen, you come in for stick every now and again, Steve, for going for a short one. Well, there you go. 275-1, stick that in your pipe. So I love it.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, we haven't got any short ones. I mean, we can discuss the short ones in the Farmers if you want. I mean,
you know, well, I'm absolutely convinced that Ludwig's going to win, and I can get 10 places at 16-1. I'm tempted.
Well, you must have some good contacts in the Ludwig camp then, Dave, because I mean, you know, he withdrew during the Amex last week before round three due to illness. I mean, we're not sure this illness was.
If he tees it up, he's fine.
Well, this is it, Dave. This is it. I mean, you probably could get excited by what happened last year, because obviously he got really ill in the Farmers Insurance Open, you remember. You know, he was vomiting on the course, wasn't he? He was hunched over. You know, we were on him, if you remember rightly, in the Farmers Insurance Open. I mean, I can test your memory just to a year ago, can't I? Because he made an amazing start. And like,
I remember your pain.
Do you remember? Yeah, he was virtually over after the first round. Ludwig Gobert's going to win by 100 shots. Then he got ill and gradually weakened as the tournament went on, and then finished 42nd. And then he was too ill he did tee up in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, but then withdrew immediately with illness. So the point is, when he got ill last year, and he had a big gap between the Farmers Insurance Open and when he won in the Genesis Invitation. It was a 3-week gap. Yeah, you're asking a lot for him to withdraw ill last week. I don't think the illness was as bad, but the gap is non-existent. He's teeing up the following week. So I just can't take the gamble that he's going to be fit enough for this week. Because you say if he tees up, he's fit enough. I'm not sure that's true, because he teed up in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am the week after he got really ill in the Farmers last year, and then he withdrew immediately.
Don't hit it down the first and then withdraw, for God's sake.
Exactly. That's it. That's the gamble, isn't it? That's why I'm not prepared to take the gamble there. And Xander Schauffele, you know, this is his first start of the year. You know, Scheffler's obviously shown the way on that. You know, how has Schauffele been preparing? Who knows? You know, new father at the end of last year. I would suspect, you know, hardly any practice over Christmas is the first Christmas with a with a child. Mixed record at Torrey Pines. Yeah, this is a San Diego born man, so he's always felt a special pressure in his hometown event. Missed the cut in his first three appearances in the Farmers Insurance Open, missed the cut again in 2020, but then he was second in 2021, and then he finished seventh in the US Open that year. So at Torrey Pines. So I think it's fair to say he's got a hang of Torrey Pines, but he didn't play there at all last year. So there was two events at Torrey Pines last year because of the Genesis, where Schauffele was too injured to play in either of them. You remember he had the rib problem, delayed start to 2025. So, yeah, Schauffele, I can't have Schauffele. I can't have Aubert, as much as I love him. If you were friends with Ludwig Aubert, I'm gutted I'm not. I wish I had Ludwig Aubert's phone number, and I could just we could ring out and say, oh, I've got an itchy nose. Like, we're FaceTime.
I think he'd change his number very quickly.
Hi, Ludwig. Sorry to bother you. I've got a really itchy nose and sweaty. But how are you? How are you? That would be great. I don't have that. I do my best for you. I've got some moles here and there. I've got some decent moles, but I haven't got Ludwig Aubert's phone number, guys, and I apologise for that. So I don't know the condition of Ludwig Aubert, and I can't take the gamble on him.
What about a little bit further down, the defending champion, Harris English? He's a big price.
Harris English. Yeah, Harris English's scrambling last year was amazing, wasn't it? We got a different type of event this year. I think the scoring is going to be slightly better. I think the big hitters, I mean, you'll notice that my four are very powerful players. I think in the still conditions forecast, I think long driving is the key to success this week. And my four are absolute monsters in that respect. Cameron
One
Young
player has been back to player that's been back to big prices, and I'll run for cover, is Michael Thorbjørnsen. I'm on an odds comparison site, and there is plenty of blue next to his name, which would suggest the odds are shortening.
Well, we've given Stanford University a good advert this week. I mean, any rich parents out there thinking of sending their kid to a university, Stanford's the one to send them to. Tiger Woods, Patrick Rogers, Carl Phillips, Michael Thorbjørnsen. I mean, Michael Thorbjørnsen's driving is incredibly good. This course is right up his alley, but he hasn't performed well on it thus far. He has had a go and has flopped on it. So, yeah, Michael Thorbjørnsen definitely on the radar, but disappointing previous efforts on the course. Cameron Young is the one I was more attracted to. First start of the year, but his Torrey Pines form figures are surprisingly bad. Miscut. I think Cameron Young is going to go up a level this year. I think the Ryder Cup was huge for him. I think he's in for a big year, but I can just about live without him. The closest I come to adding to my four, I mean, you can't back them all. I think punters like small staking plans. I mean, yeah, put it in the comment section. I think punters hate it when you come out with loads of selections. So I have to stop it with four, even though they're all pretty big prices, particularly two of them. I think I'm going to stop it at four because, you know, Jason Day, as I say, was massively on the radar, eventually fell out of love with the price. Patrick Cartlay was massively on my radar. You know, loves teeing up in his home state. Decent return to action last week. He was fifth in the Genesis Invitational at Torrey Pines last year. Yeah, but that is a long victory drought, isn't it? We've seen Cartlay create chances. Yeah. Tour championship last year. Yeah, he hasn't won.
Yeah,
he hasn't won since the old King died, and that has to be a factor. So I sort of toyed with Cartlay, but ended up going without him. And then Sam Stevens, I mentioned. So yeah, if you want to have more, then Sam Stevens, Patrick Cartlay, Jason Day. But yeah, I like my four. Not my four. You don't need to. Yeah, these are big prices. You don't need
that. Plenty. Yeah, I mean, a feature that I'm bringing to the Sweet Spot weekly is Sahith the Gala watch. Tied for eight last week, 70-1. So we go again. I'm just going to back him every week. We go again.
Yeah, you must have been very, very pleased with what you saw last week. That was the most encouraging performance we've had from Sahith in
a winner. One win this year from our man Sahith. At least one win.
You noticed that Nico Echeverria had been too busy with his new bride, didn't he, over Christmas? I mean,
he'd
certainly been very active with Claudia on the basis of what he produced when we saw Echeverria in the Sony Open. So you have to be aware of what's going on in their personal lives. Echeverria hadn't picked up a club by the looks of things. He was too busy with romantic games instead.
Yes, indeed. Right, that is a wrap then. Let's have a roundup of the selections. But before we do, before we remind ourselves of Steve's picks, darts. You mentioned some darts. Quickly talk to me. What's going on? It's a busy time on the tour, is it?
Yeah, it's the first major of the year, if I can call it that. It's the Masters. The Masters. We often get excited on the Sweet Spot about the Masters. The Golf Masters takes place in one of the most beautiful locations in the world, among the azaleas of Augusta. The Darts Masters takes place in Milton Keynes amid the concrete cows. Do you know about the concrete cows?
Well, amid the millions of roundabouts, yeah.
Yes, very famous for its roundabouts and very famous for its concrete cows, which was a lovely bit of art that was produced in 1978, the year of my birth, actually. Two contrasting masters, but... fascinating event. I was going to back Luke Littler. I was keen on backing Luke Littler for this. He's one of the few tournaments he's never won, you see, Dave. So Luke Littler, when he's got a tournament in front of him he's never won, is highly motivated. You saw that in the inaugural Saudi Darts Masters the other day. He wanted to win that because it wasn't on his CV. So Littler's motivation is high, and therefore you're very tempted to back him. But I just didn't like the draw he got. The draw came out on yesterday. And he's got a few banana skins on the way. Whereas
Shade of Odds Against, is that what price is going off for every event now?
He's going off very, very short. I mean, it's nice to see the bookmakers going at half the 1-2 because for the previous events this year, we've gone a third the 1-2. So the each way terms are better now for this one. And the good news is that Luke Humphreys got an amazing draw on the other side. So I think Luke Humphreys cruises through his quarter. So Luke Humphreys, I can't see him failing to get the semi final. So he's the each-way bet, Luke Humphreys. So I was going to back Luke Littler, but I've actually backed Luke Humphreys each way because I like what I saw in the draw. So, I'm very, very big on draws in the darts. And unfortunately, I couldn't back the nuke. But, so Luke Humphreys is the bet each way.
Oh, what about the MVG? You've got the clobber on. Is that not a sign?
Oh, no, that's not a sign. I know. It's just picked up the first thing on the banister there. He's in the same half as Luke Littler. So, MVG played well in Saudi Arabia, actually. But so exciting week of golf and exciting week of darts. And then next week, Dave, hopefully we'll have lots of ammunition from this week's events because we've got three golf tournaments next week. We've got the start of the LIV season, LIV Riyadh under the floodlights.
Phoenix I've already Open. Priced that up, if you wonder. So I've already priced up the LIV again, if
you wonder. Yeah. You love it, don't you? You love it.
You're wrong with the Shambo. There you go.
Yeah. And then we got Phoenix Open. Phoenix Open, that's one of your favourites. The old waste management and the Qatar Masters. So, we got a big week next week. So let's gird our loins.
I like the sound of that. Right, let's have a reminder then of your picks, Steve. We'll start on the DP World Tour and we are in Bahrain. Who are the selections?
Daniel Hillier, Martin Kuvre, Wenyi Ding.
And a reminder of the Farmers Insurance.
Taylor Pendrith, Patrick Rogers, Ricky Castillo, and Carl Phillips.
Marvellous. 3 and 4, so 12 each way doubles if you are interested in following Steve, which of course we'd advise you to do so. Steve, it's been a pleasure as ever. You survived Barcelona. We go again, as you mentioned, 3 tournaments next week. So make sure you tune in next week. Thank you for watching here on The Sweet Spot. Enjoy the golf, gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next time.